As we prepare to journey together into God's words, let us pray. God, we need you. We need your life. We need your hope. We need to see Jesus, to figure out how to walk in his way, to live through this uncertain time, to find ways of being there for one another. May your spirit bring us alive so that we can be more like Jesus. Amen. In our gospel story this morning, Jesus is a long ways from Israel. He has just walked on the water, and now he's on the other side of the Sea of Galilee in Gentile land, in a beach town called Tyre, likely to go somewhere that he's not going to be noticed, to get away from the masses. But it doesn't take long for someone to recognize him, a woman whose daughter is possessed by a demon. She's desperate. She knows she has no business approaching Jesus. She's a woman, a Gentile, a foreigner, but she just can't help herself. Her daughter needs to be set free from this unclean spirit, and here is someone who might be able to help. Nothing is going to stop her from reaching out for Jesus' help. Here's the thing, the interesting thing. Matthew tells us that this woman is Canaanite. This is different from Mark, who calls her Syrophoenician. This slight alteration may not seem important to you, but only here in the entire New Testament do we find the term Canaanite. And that's because in Jesus' day, the Canaanites no longer existed as an identifiable culture. It would be like one of us calling a modern Norwegian person a Viking, or someone from Mexico an Aztec. It's entirely out of place, and for that reason, we cannot help but wonder if it's significant. Even more interesting in light of this is here we have Jesus, whose name is simply the Greek variant of Joshua. Here we have a story of Joshua encountering a Canaanite. And when we read this, we can't help but recall the first Joshua's interactions with them. And we can't help but wonder, is what kind of Joshua will Jesus be? Do you remember what happened the last time Joshua visited Canaanite land? Conquest, genocide, annihilation. In Deuteronomy 7, Moses provides the vision for Israel's conquest. This is what Moses instructs Israel that they are supposed to do when they entered the land of Canaan. When the Lord your God brings you into the land that you are entering to take possession of and clears away many nations before you, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, and the Jebusites, seven nations, more numerous and mighty than yourselves. When the Lord your God gives them over to you and you defeat them, then you must devote them to complete destruction. You shall make no covenant with them, and you shall show them no mercy. You shall not intermarry with them, giving your sons or your daughters to their sons, or taking their daughters for your sons. For they would turn away your sons from following the Lord, and they would serve other gods. Then the anger of the Lord would be kindled against you, and God would destroy you quickly. It's in the book of Joshua that we see this vision being fulfilled. Page after page tells us about Joshua's conquests, about all the kings that Joshua defeated, and his indiscriminate slaughter of all the people, even the animals that happened to be in the way. Joshua 11:14 puts it succinctly. All the people they struck down with the edge of their swords until they destroyed them all. They did not leave any who breathed. Of all the books of the Bible, it's Joshua that disturbs me most. I try to avoid it at whatever costs. It haunts me. It keeps me up at night. For page after page, paints a picture of a God who longs for violence, a God who demands annihilation, a God who refuses mercy. This morning, I want us to explore Jesus' interactions with this Canaanite woman through the lens of Joshua's slaughter of the Canaanites. For I can't help but see this text as an example of how Jesus reinterprets those conquests, a story about how God's new Joshua unravels all that has come before. Let us begin by noticing the plea of this Canaanite woman. Have mercy on me, O Lord, Son of David. Have mercy on me. Mercy. This mercy is the one thing that Moses commands the Israelites to deny to all the people of Canaan. As our text said, you shall make no covenant with them and you shall show them no mercy. And at first, this is exactly what Jesus does. Scripture tells us that Jesus refuses to even acknowledge her presence. He ignores her. He doesn't even say a word to her. But this woman will not be silenced. She throws such a fit that she forces the disciples to intervene. The disciples ask Jesus to send her away. Finally, Jesus, after this, does address her. But when he does, his words are just an explanation of her exclusion. I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But this Canaanite woman again will not be deterred. She approaches Jesus again. She kneels in his presence. And once again, she cries out, Lord, help me. Do not deny me God's mercy. There's no easy way to soften Jesus' response. It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. When Jesus calls this woman a dog, it's really as bad as it sounds. It's as scandalous then as it is now. Dogs were unclean beasts in the eyes of Jews, scavengers who roamed the wilderness, who ate unclean animals and even human carcasses. It's hard to imagine these words ever coming out of the mouth of Jesus. And I think that's the point. It's supposed to shock us, startle us, and make us wonder, what are we to make of this Jesus? So that here we recognize that Jesus is embodying the way of the first Joshua. For Jesus treats her as subhuman, a wild animal, unworthy of life, unworthy of God's mercy. But then the great reversal, the shocking twist, what I call the Canaanite conquest of Jesus, the ending that makes us reconsider all that we knew about the way of Joshua. This woman will not take no for an answer. So she responds to Jesus' harsh words by saying, yes, Lord, it is right to show me mercy. Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. It's a clever response, one that seems to surprise Jesus into a new awakening, one that highlights the injustice, the inhumanity of the conquestal ways of Joshua. The Canaanites' response, it forces Jesus to reevaluate the ways of his ancestors. It forces Jesus to admit she's right. Dogs eat too. They also get food from the table. There's more than enough of God's mercy to go around. There is ample for them too. So Jesus grants her request. He responds, woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted. Jesus extends mercy to the Canaanite by healing her daughter. You may or may not be comfortable seeing this story as one of Jesus' own conversion. But the most important thing about Matthew's version is seeing this as a story about God's new Joshua being conquered by a Canaanite. Talk about a radical unraveling of the conquest tradition. I can't help but believe that Matthew has carefully crafted it in such a way to show us that here, and all throughout the Gospels, we find a Jesus who subverts, who shakes and turns outside the ways of conquest that come before. For instead of destruction and annihilation, the way of Jesus is based on mercy, on healing, on reconciliation. So Matthew plays with this new story of a new Joshua returning to Canaan in hopes of constituting a new future reality that is radically different from the past. Now, I've done something today I don't normally do. I've added the following story to our scripture readings for this morning, where Jesus feeds the 4,000. And this feeding happens this time in the land of Galilee, in the land of Canaan. Because here we clearly see the fruits of Jesus's reconstitution of Joshua's conquest of Canaan. It's important to note that Jesus' encounter with this Canaanite woman is sandwiched between the two decisive miracles in Matthew's gospel, the feeding of the 5,000 and the feeding of the 4,000, which comes right after. The feeding of the 5,000, that one takes place in the land of Israel, on Israel's side of the Sea of Galilee. And after all the people there ate and were satisfied, we are told the disciples came and they picked up the leftovers, and there were 12 baskets of broken bread. 12 is an important number to Israel. It harkens back to the 12 tribes. These 12 baskets highlights for us that Jesus' ministry is for all of Israel. The story of the feeding of the 4,000, on the other hand, takes place on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Gentile crowds have come to see Jesus. With them, they have brought the lame, the blind, the crippled, the mute for healing. And for 3 days, Jesus does just that, healing all that come to him. And during those 3 days, the people have absolutely nothing to eat. Jesus is worried that if the people return to their homes without food, they may die along the way. Notice what Jesus tells the disciples here. I have compassion for these people. In other words, I want to display mercy upon them. For they are hungry and they have nothing to eat. Mercy. Again, we find Jesus refusing to obey the mandate of Moses. Instead of letting these people die, he extends mercy by feeding them all with a few loaves and a few fish. And after all those 4,000 people eat and are satisfied, this time the disciples pick up the leftovers and we find 7 basketfuls of broken bread. Just as 12 is important to the Israelites, so is 7 to the Gentiles. For in that scripture I quoted earlier, that scripture of Joshua's mandate that he enacted, the one that commands the Israelites not to show mercy, 7 is the number of Canaanite nations that Joshua was commanded to utterly destroy. The Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hittites, and 7, the Jebusites. So here we have Jesus. Here we find the new Joshua in the land of Canaan. And the 7 leftover baskets show us that Jesus hasn't come to destroy these 7 nations. He has come to bring God's life to them. The feeding of the 4,000 is a story of Jesus' refusal to enact Moses' original vision. By feeding these Canaanite peoples, Jesus proclaims that that was never the way of God. Instead of conquest and destruction, Jesus offers food, healing, and most important, mercy. Instead of extermination, Jesus offers the 7 nations God's life. What we have in our stories for this morning is Jesus turning the most violent anti-Gentile tradition that Israel knew completely on its head. Instead of conquest, Jesus shows us that God's mission is mercy. One where we are being sent into the world to be agents of compassion, to heal, to feed, to nurture, and to protect life rather than take it. It's not only during Jesus' ministry that we find Jesus dismantling and subverting Israel's ways of conquest. Matthew wants us to know that Jesus' very identity centers around undoing the violence that was commanded throughout Deuteronomy and performed by Joshua. Now, one of the things about me, I love the genealogies of Jesus. In my opinion, those are prisms into the entire ministry and mission of Jesus. Both Luke and Matthew's genealogies are radically different, and I believe so intentionally, because they want to highlight different ways of perceiving who Jesus is. And one of the most interesting things about Matthew's genealogy is the inclusion of women, five of them to be exact: Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, Bathsheba, and Mary. Not only are four of those women Gentiles, foreigners, and outsiders, but at least two, and most likely three, of these women hail from the land of Canaan. They belong to the people who Israel was commanded to not only not marry, but to destroy. And yet in Matthew's genealogy of Jesus, we find two or three instances of times that Israel disobeyed Moses' command and they intermarried with Canaanites. Tamar, we know, was Canaanite. Judah arranged the marriage between Tamar and his oldest son after Judah ran away to the land of Canaan. Rahab was a resident of Jericho, and she was one who helped Israel during the Canaanite conquest. And Bathsheba's husband was Uriah the Hittite, one of those seven nations. While we don't know anything about Bathsheba's ancestry, it's likely that she was Hittite as well. These three Canaanite inclusions cannot be a coincidence. At the very origins of his gospel, Matthew lets us know that the way of Jesus calls into question Israel's ways of conquest. Through illegal intermarrying, Jesus' ancestry points us in a different direction. It helps us see the good news of Jesus, the gospel of this new Joshua, is one that subverts, shakes, and turns inside out the ways of conquest that are found in the Old Testament itself. For God's way is radically different. The way of Jesus is based on mercy and inclusion and healing for all. As peacemakers, as a people who live in a world that knows far too well the horrors of genocide and mass extinction, the conquest narratives of Deuteronomy and Joshua are some of the most haunting stories of our past. They have been used and continue to be used to justify racial exclusion and the annihilation of indigenous peoples. There is no solving the problem of the Canaanite genocide in Scripture. But I think today shows us that we can't avoid it either, and that maybe we just don't have to. For I believe in our text today, Jesus reinterprets Israel's history for us. And Jesus turns the tradition completely on its head. And he does this to show us that we never need to go down this road again. He shows us once and for all that this has nothing to do with the way of Jesus. There was never was the way of our God. And it should no longer be the way for us. May it be so. Amen.